Hi, my name's Natalie. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from food addiction, control, and anger. Hey, please pray with me. Father God, thank you. Thank you that I have this story to share. Thank you that you are not done with me, and that you love me enough to just keep working on me. Please calm my nerves. Let me speak clearly, and I pray that others would just hear your story, that I would get out of the way, and they would just see you on display. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay. I was born into a home with Christ believers as parents. I say that because even though they profess to believe in Jesus, pursuit of him was not made a priority, at least not in front of me when I was a little girl. My parents were divorced by the time I was 4 and my sister was 2. So for as long as I can remember, I lived with my mom and saw my dad every other weekend. I remember listening to Christian music when I was with my dad and visiting church with friends a few times when I was with my mom, but that was it for my childhood. By the time I was 7, both of my parents had remarried, and by the time I was 13, I had a huge blended family of 5 sisters and 3 brothers. At some point early on, I began to notice that at times my mom would get upset when I talked about my dad. As a child, obviously, I had no idea what she was truly upset about, but in my young mind, I didn't like it. It was at this point that I began to try to control what was said in relation to my dad when I was around my mom so that she wouldn't get upset. It was my way of protecting her feelings, but over time, this would morph into constantly controlling everything I did or said so that nobody would be upset. There were a few times when I was growing up that I was made to feel bigger or different than the rest of my siblings, not by my mom, dad, or even my siblings themselves, but by other family members. Looking back, that wasn't their intention at all. I was taller and developed at a younger age, but in my mind, that equated to bigger, which led to a decrease in my self-esteem. My sisters were skinny and beautiful, always had a boyfriend, and I saw myself as the ugly duckling. On top of that, we moved around a lot. I went to 4 different schools during my elementary years, 2 middle schools and 2 high schools. While I can see the blessing in this, that I was able to make friends and adapt to change fairly easily, looking back, I can also see that all of this caused me to put a lot of worth into what people thought of me and wanting to make sure that I was in with the most liked crowd. Instead of turning to God to find my worth, value, and beauty, because I had no idea how to do that, I began to seek it from other people. I wanted people to like me, I wanted boys to like me, and this desire to be liked led to me compromising my values by participating in underage drinking and promiscuity with boys. At the age of 16, God opened my eyes, and I caught my first glimpse of the beauty of the gospel. John 5:24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." It finally clicked. I was a sinner. My life was chaotic because I was living outside of his will for me. His will for me was to believe in Jesus, to understand that Jesus, being God, came down from heaven, lived a perfect life in our broken world, was crucified for my sin and all of our sins, was buried, and then 3 days later was raised to life again. I realized that he must love me something fierce to go through all of that pain and rejection for me, simply so that I would not have to live separated from him for all eternity. And guess what? He loves you that much too. It is his deepest desire that all of us here hear his word and believe in him who sent Jesus to the cross so that we can have a relationship with him now and spend eternity with him. At this point, the underage drinking stopped, and I began to change the crowd I was spending my time with. Through all of this, one constant that was always with me was my precious sister, Andrea, and although she was 2 years younger than me, I looked up to her in so many ways. She had started attending the youth group in the town we were living in with my mom, which made me feel more comfortable to start going there as well. It was here that I began to be discipled and understand what it looked like to have a relationship with Christ. I wish I could say that this discipleship stuck and that I ran hard after Jesus from that point on. However, that was not the case. I never really let go of the desire I had to be liked by guys. My thoughts were consumed with having a boyfriend, and all of my prayers were selfishly directed at which guy I liked and when I would get married. For 2.5 years, I prayed for one guy specifically named Jared, and God eventually answered that prayer. We started dating and got married another 2.5 years later. That was it. Life was perfect. No, not really. But that's what we always think. If God would just answer this one prayer, then I would never ask for anything else again. However, I did. And after 2.5 years of marriage, we had a beautiful baby girl. We loved her so much, we decided we wanted another one just like her right away. However, our desires were not met right away. We struggled with secondary infertility for 4 years. As awful and as heartbreaking as that time was, God used that struggle to draw me back to him. Our marriage was in no way perfect. While I loved Jared very much, neither one of us were seeking God's will in our own lives, in our marriage, or in our parenting. And the entire time we had been married, we'd never consistently gone to a church for more than a few months at a time, and we definitely weren't seeking him in our day-to-day lives. God used infertility and Shiloh, Watermark's infertility ministry, to draw me back to him. I eventually came to a point where I believed that even if we never had another child, he would still be good. After 4 years of infertility, we had our second little girl. For a while, I had been asking Jared to go to Reengage, Watermark's marriage enrichment program. We fought often, and unfortunately most, if not all of those fights, were in front of our oldest daughter. There was one time specifically when we were sitting in the car at a parking lot screaming at each other, and she was in the backseat of the car crying, begging us to stop. At the time, I was quick to run to her side and comfort her, making Jared look like the bad guy. Talk about stellar parenting. We started going to Reengage in 2013. We were encouraged to draw a circle around ourselves and work within that circle. This was the first big breakthrough in our marriage. We got into a community group shortly after Reengage ended, and ended up going through Reengage again with our community group as a way to try and just keep the group together. However, even after going through it twice, we were still fighting way more than I liked. I had said for a while that I wanted to attend Regeneration. So 3 months after having our third daughter, I walked through the doors here on Tuesday night. Our pastor always says the healthiest people at Watermark can be found at Region, and I wanted to be one of those people. Step one, admit, was easy for me. On my own, my life was definitely unmanageable. At some point throughout my adult life, I had begun making poor eating choices, and as hard as I had tried to fix them, on my own, I hadn't had any luck. These poor choices were affecting my health, specifically my liver. I was diagnosed with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and was told that it was reversible. However, if it kept going for 10 or more years, it could lead to liver cirrhosis and eventually liver failure. Well, I was 8 years into that diagnosis and there still hadn't been any change. Walking into Region, I was convinced that I was there to get a hold of my food addiction. However, as I started working through the rest of the steps, God made it clear that I had other issues he wanted me to work on too. Step three, trust, was key for me in deciding to trust God with my daily life and will. I had no problem trusting him for the hugeness that is my eternity, but the struggle was real when it came to trusting him with all the little minute details of my day-to-day life. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." I'll admit I knew that verse coming into Region. However, if you read on in verses 7-8, it says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." And how amazing does that sound? As a mom of three girls, ages 8 to a few months old, I was in desperate need of healing and refreshment. And if that meant turning over my choices in day-to-day life, then so be it. During inventory, I really began to see how much I struggled with control. Psalm 51:6 says, "Behold you delight in truth in the inward being and teach me wisdom in the secret heart." Honestly, even though I've been trying to control things for years, I had no clue how prevalent it was in my life. If things felt like they were out of control, I would get incredibly anxious or lash out in anger. The anxiety was high right after having our first child. I was consumed with thoughts about having to put her in daycare and go back to work when all I really wanted to do was stay home with her. One day I ended up in the ER because I was having chest pain and it ended up being a panic attack. I wish I could say that that only happened once, but sadly it happened a few years later again. Both of them stemmed from me getting so worked up over something that was completely out of my control. I didn't realize how freeing step five, confess, would be. 1 John 1:7-9 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I was carrying around a lifetime worth of sins and had no idea the weight of that burden. Exposing them to the light in the company of my mentor and an amazing friend was a game changer. I felt love. I felt acceptance. I was admonished, yet felt no judgment or condemnation. I left my mentor's house feeling lighter than I ever remember feeling. I felt like I had a clean slate, and by God's strength, I was going to do my best to never let that slate fill up again. While going through step 9, I got to live out all of the steps up to this point in one fell swoop, and by that I mean within a 24-hour time period. We were hosting my daughter's birthday party, and all at once, there was a moment of chaos involving one of our kids. For once, I was calm, not panicking, and yet I felt control being ripped away from me, so I snapped and pushed my husband right there in front of both of our families. I was angry, mortified, and remorseful, all in a matter of minutes. 1 Colossians 1:11 says, "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy." I definitely needed God's strength to get me through the next 24 hours. I sought forgiveness and made amends with Jared that same day. The following day, I sought forgiveness and made amends with his mother, sister, and brother, who had been there as well. To say I wasn't nauseous from anxiety would be a lie. Being vulnerable isn't always easy, but God is always faithful. This January, I graduated from my step group, and the following week, I began to lead a new co-step group, or I began to co-lead a new step group. I love that God is never done teaching me, and now he is speaking to me through these women just as much as he did through my first group. The community of women that God has given me through my mom and sister, ladies here at Watermark and Region, have been one of the biggest blessings through it all. They are truly his provision for me. They point me to truth constantly. I get texts, calls, prayers, and random meals from my family at exact moments that only God can know I need. A few weeks ago, I was in the car with my oldest daughter, and somehow we got on the topic of marriage. I asked her if she remembered how Jared and I used to fight a lot. She said she remembered that it used to make her so upset that she would cry and was worried we would get a divorce. She then went on to say that in the last year and a half, it had gotten so much better. Praise Jesus. I hate that she had to see that side of me. However, I love that she is a witness to the amazing work God is doing in my life. Now, instead of blowing up in anger whenever Jared is doing something I don't agree with or things don't go the way I envision them, I just start praying. Jared says that since I've been through Region, I am slower to anger, and then now I think about how I want to say something so that it comes across in a loving way. And y'all, it's huge, it's not me, and it's all God. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape." With God's direction, the way of escape, so that you may be able to endure it. With God's direction, through his Spirit, I have been able to come up with a plan of action to make sure that when I feel as if things are spinning out of control, I turn to him instead of lashing out in anger or having another panic attack. These plans have been one of his ways of providing me the way of escape. Having a plan before going into battle is always better than making a plan once the war is raging all around you. One thing that's been huge for helping me in this is scripture memory. When I have his word hidden in my heart, it is very easy for the Spirit to recall it to mind at a moment's notice and remind me of truth when I need it most. Before going through Region, I was always super quick to give my opinion or thoughts whenever a friend was struggling or needed advice. Now I try to give truth through scripture as much as possible. However, with that, I've also learned that it is okay to not always have an answer. In the past, pride would keep me from being willing to acknowledge that I don't know everything, even though I was fooling no one. But not anymore. I will happily share my ineptitude with anyone when necessary. I have no problem saying, "I don't know, but I'll get back with you." I wish I could say that we go through Region, as we go through Region, we come out on the other side of it fixed without any issues. However, that's not the case. Earlier when I talked about step 1, I said that I initially came to Region because of my poor food choices. However, after that, it pretty much took a backseat to all the other junk in my life. God is just now breaking this part of me down, and whether that's because it was his plan or because I've been holding on to it so tightly, I'm not certain. All I can say is that it's hard and I'm not loving it, but I know he only wants good things for me and he is carrying me through it. So, am I fixed? Never. Did I come out stronger and closer to God? Absolutely. Knowing that God is my first line of defense and that he will equip me for whatever issues may come next is all I need. Never in a million years did I ever think that this is where I would be today. I love authenticity and I love being authentic with people. I just never imagined myself being this authentic with this many people at one time. If this is your first time here, welcome. This is a safe place. Never have I felt more loved and accepted than I have here at Region. Matthew 18:19-20 says, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Where two or three are gathered in his name, he promises to show up. And look around. How many more are gathered here tonight? I'd say we've got it covered, which means he's here right now. And I pray that you don't leave here tonight without finding him and the hope that he has for you. Thanks for letting me share.